Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Epic Podcast. Introducing your hosts, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen and internets of all ages, welcome to episode 2 of the Epic Podcast. My name is Nelson Lugo.
And my name is Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And today we have a fantastic show. We're going to do some catch up. We're going to talk about all kinds of nerdy goodness. But most importantly, and the one thing I'm really excited about, is that we are going to interview Lucas Siegel of Newsarama. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But until then, hey Schaefer, what's up?
Really? That's your question for me?
That's the segment. That's the segment we're now in. It's a segment called What's Up?
See, because when we did the last episode, I remember you laid out what our 4 segments were going to be for our show. I don't recall What's Up being the title of one of the segments.
Okay, well, maybe I made an executive decision. But we can title it whatever we want. I mean, it's only the second episode.
Okay, but the segment is What's Up? And that's your question for me, is What's Up?
Yeah. What you been doing? What's going on? Let's catch up. How you been since the last time we recorded?
I've been doing well.
Yeah?
I've done some shows.
I know. You've done some really great shows.
I've been working on my record, because that's all I ever do is work on my record.
how's that free album? Is that going to drop
That's adorable.
September?
That's adorable.
At all? Is that
going to...
Well, what's it called? Schaefer the Dark Lord's junk drawer?
It's called Schaefer the Dark Lord, Bring Me the Head of Michael Kill of the Thought Criminals. No, it's not. And please don't give Michael Kill of the Thought Criminals grief. My free record is still on the way. Michael Kill has been on the road. So,
yes, he has.
The mastering and really a remix of a song that he's working on got put on hold while he finished this tour. And so it should be coming any day now. So last time I said August and then amended that to September. So let's just go ahead and say October. October 1st.
All right.
My free record junk drawer is coming.
We will catch up in episode 3 for the ongoing saga of what I like to call Junk Drawer Gate.
Terrific. Otherwise, I've been doing some shows. At the end of August, I went to Denver. And I played a show out there with Megaran,
right,
and MC Chris,
right.
It was a benefit show for the victims' families.
That's right.
And anybody who was affected by the tragedy at the Aurora Dark Knight shooting.
And you know what? And I must say it was tremendous goodwill to have that organized and I'm glad it happened. I'm glad you got to be a part of it.
It was a lot of fun. It was a really fun show. The audience was great. Everybody's really nice. I got to see some old friends, had some laughs, and it was very moving. I actually got to speak to some people who were directly affected by the tragedy, and it was pretty powerful. It was a great show. I had a good time. I mean, it was sobering. That's for
sure.
But it was a nice trip.
Good. When was the last time you were in Denver?
Years ago. Last time I was in Denver, I went out for my my oldest friend's wedding.
Oh dear.
And that was years ago. And he's been giving me grief to come back, so I went and spent some time with him.
Oh, good. I was out there. Good, good, good. Awesome.
I also did a show in Brooklyn.
Yeah, you did.
Speaking of Michael Kill of the Thought Criminals.
Oh yeah, the No Friends Tour.
The No Friends Tour came to Brooklyn.
That was a good time.
Month, I got to do a show with Jesse Dangerously and Adam Warrock and Michael Kill and Tribe One, and it was awesome.
Yeah, that was a great night.
I would like to tell the listeners that they should go see them on tour, but that tour's over now, so you can't. And if you didn't see it, you missed out.
I haven't had that much fun. And admittedly, I don't go to a lot of live music events. I'm not a music person.
I know. I remember that night I took you to see a metal band.
Yeah,
you seemed to have so much fun that night.
I did. I was like, I mean, I know what metal is, but I've never actually experienced it firsthand. And that night in Brooklyn with Jesse Dangerously and all those guys and Michael Kill, that was a fantastically fun night.
It was a lot of fun. We also had the treat of our friend Linda G. Pyle.
Oh yeah,
who works for South by Southwest in Austin. She was in town and she was.
I didn't get to meet her, but I saw her, and I hope to meet her one day.
She's a rock star in her own right.
Yep, from what I hear.
So that's what I've been doing. I've done some rap shows. I'm working on my rap record, and mostly hanging out alone in my darkened apartment, talking to myself because. You guys, I'm not kidding. That's not shtick. That's what I do.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's not a line. That's not a joke.
No, that's my life. That's my reality. Life right now. Yeah. Let me ask you, Nelson Lugo.
What's up?
What's up?
I'm so glad you asked, Schaefer.
What have you been up to since we last casted?
I was gearing up for the Epic Win Burlesque sci-fi TV show.
Oh, how did that go?
It went wonderfully well. Wonderfully well.
Really?
As a producer, there's always a shit ton of work that needs to happen prior to any show. And then it's basically just, you know, go, 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 and then you're done. And so there was just... I knew once we got to, you know, opening the doors and letting people in that the show would just kind of take care of itself because, you know, we hire professionals and we know what we're doing and, you know, once you start that wheel in motion, it just kind of goes.
Yeah.
And it does what it's going to do. And luckily we're good enough at it where, you know, we can steer it in some pretty really funny and fun ways.
You were working with... a professional crew. In fact, you were working with a lot of performers who had not previously performed in Epic Win shows. You were working with some new talent who were actually some very seasoned talent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You had Francine doing an X-Files number. You had Creamy Stevens doing a Wrath of Khan.
Right.
of course, Nasty Canasta doing a TARDIS number and Femme Appeal doing Twilight Zone. Those are, of course, regular Epic Win cast members.
Sure, sure.
You had Minnie DiMuccia, who's kind of a new member of the Epic Win family, doing a Sequest number.
I know, how an obscure character from an obscure show.
I was shocked at how many audience members were thrilled when you announced the next number was based on Sequest.
I was shocked too, because I consider myself a fan of Sequest, but I hadn't thought of Sequest in about as long as it's been off the air.
Yeah, it made people really happy.
And it made a lot of people very happy.
And of course you had Stormy Leather doing her now internet famous Battlestar Galactica number with this really incredible Cylon Centurion costume shoots projectiles and has lasers and it has LEDs. And
every layer she takes off just exposes more detail into a costume, which I didn't think was possible.
Yeah, it's really sick.
Sick. A lot of people saw it. A lot of people had a good time. We got a great sort of slideshow pictorial from New York, Time Out New York, which is online. And I'm just really, really excited.
You got an old friend back to co-host the show with you.
Yeah, Schaefer, you were there.
I
think the cat's out of the bag. You were there. You were co-hosting with me. And that, let me tell you, I've done a number of shows without you.
Mm-hmm.
And those shows were great. Those shows were fine. They're wonderful and successful in their own way and unique and wonderful in their own way. But, you know, once you started trolling me on stage, it's like, oh, the magic's back. It's like being embraced in a warm quilt. It's like it's coming home.
I'm glad that that's how you feel about my trolling of you. I've made trolling you, I've turned it into a professional stagecraft at this point.
Well, because it's all like, I mean, it's not that it's scripted, but I know what you're doing and I know where it's coming from. And, you know, I get the joke. So you're not really, it's not really trolling if I'm in on it.
True.
You know. So,
but you were a good sport. You were a really good sport.
Well, I like the fact that I got to play the straight man to your sort of wacky comedian this time.
Yeah.
Whereas it's more often than not, it's usually the other way around.
In the past, I've usually played the straight man, and you've usually been the goof.
Right. Right.
So yeah, it was fun to.
That was a lot of fun. And if you want to know more about that, go to our Facebook page, Epic Win Burlesque on Facebook, and there's tons of pictures, tons of links, all kinds of stuff. I might actually have some video up pretty soon.
Really?
Yeah.
From Francine?
Yeah, from Francine, yeah.
Terrific.
What else?
What else have you been up to?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know you do more than produce a burlesque show.
Yes. I've turned to my Xbox in my post-show depression.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. That's a real thing.
That's a real thing, yeah.
Anybody out there who's a performer knows, and especially if you produce the show that you perform in, knows that's a real thing. You spend a lot of time building up, getting yourself amped up for this show that you have on the horizon, and then once it's over and you have that high that lasts right afterward, your glory, where you get to drink in all of your hard work and reap the accolades of your labor. Shortly after that, when you have to return to reality, there's a depression that sets in.
Yeah. And maybe depression is too strong a word, but it's like post-show blues.
You've got blues. You've got the blues.
And because exactly right. All this adrenaline and all this high energy, people are solely focused on you and what you're doing. And then inevitably, you're going to get comments, hopefully wonderful comments about what a great job you did, but it doesn't matter. Like, comments about what you did or what you didn't do, all of that sort of adds up. And then the very next day, nothing. You got nothing. You're not producing anything, you're not writing any emails, you're not making any playlists, you're not contacting, there's nothing to do. And so I'm now come Sunday after the Saturday show, I'm sitting there blue and exhausted too. I was physically and mentally exhausted. My legs hurt, my back hurt. I'm not getting any younger. And so I turned to my Xbox for solace, and I downloaded Mark of the Ninja on Xbox Live. And this is the most amazing game I've played in a very long time. And you might actually like this, because you like 2D side-scrollers.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, so Mark of the Ninja is, I guess it's that style of, excuse me, game that they're calling a Metroidvania.
Okay.
Where... you have one long level, mm-hmm. right? And then, but it's multi-layered. So you're going up, you're going down, and you're playing a ninja, and your job is to avenge your clan who's been invaded by gun-toting mercenaries. And you have to take them out in ever-increasingly violent and wonderful ways. And you can play the game completely stealth, where you're never seen or caught. Or you can just come in, swords a-swinging, and like just cut everybody's heads off. It's fucking amazing.
Is it an Xbox exclusive, or can I get it on the PSN?
I don't know. Let's go to the the internet and find out. I'm pretty sure that Mark of the Ninja is Xbox exclusive.
Oh, terrific.
But that's been sort of my solace for the past few days now.
Always actually. always treating your showbiz blues. Self-medicating with Xbox and a nice key lime, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you know what? It is exclusive to Xbox.
Oh. I'm so glad you got me excited about it. Thank you so much.
Well, maybe you should get an Xbox, and then we can like play co-op with other games.
Maybe I should tell you about the wonders of games like Infamous.
Oh, really? You're going to rub it in?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We'll keep it with platformers. Maybe we should talk about Little Big Planet.
Okay. All right. You don't need to... Now you're just getting ugly.
Yeah. Well, all right. We're not going to do... We're not going to... Let us never let our show turn
into a console war.
Devolve into just loyalty over console
wars. No, so listeners, in full disclosure, I, Nelson Lugo, own an Xbox.
And I, Shave the Dark Lord, own a PlayStation 3.
And neither one of us really give a shit.
No, I don't care. Yeah. There's games I would like to play that I can't, and it goes both ways. But I'm not.
I will more than likely probably get a PS3 for Christmas. I would probably treat myself finally.
Oh, who's getting you that for Christmas?
I'll probably get it myself. I mean, the thing is, I have a ginormous television, and...
Don't say ginormous.
Don't tell me what to do.
Okay.
I'm underutilizing its capabilities, and I think a Blu-ray player would probably be the best thing.
All right.
Essentially, so...
You do what you gotta do. Maybe if you're a good boy, I'll get you a PlayStation for Christmas.
How good do I have to be? That sounded dirty. Actually, sorry.
Yeah, let's.
I didn't mean that to come out dirty.
Yeah, put that in your slash fic.
Internet. So if you have slash fic about Nelson Lugo and Shay for the Dark Lord, email us at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
Do me a favor.
Yeah.
Never read the responses to the thing that you just said.
You just trained me to read all the responses
Jesus.
To the thing I just said. Also, you had a great idea earlier that I'm going to create a Tumblr for Epic Podcast, because we've gotten some emails and some comments.
In the pilot episode, we requested you, or we asked you to send in your email questions for us, your comments, and that we would respond to them on the air. But we got a lot of responses, and some of them are pretty lengthy.
Yeah.
We got a couple of emails that are there's commentary, but then there's, you know, like a half dozen questions combined inside. We don't have time to cover all of the elements that you hit. We don't want to discourage you from writing in your questions. We're still going to respond to some of them on the air, but we might need to launch a Tumblr so that we can respond to these more thoroughly.
Yeah.
You can read them online.
Yeah. But I did get a couple of album title suggestions.
That's right. In the last episode, you asked. Yes. I was talking about my new album, which is a concept album that I'm working on. And although I told you that I've already picked out a title.
Yeah, that, I don't think that's a thing.
Okay.
I think you're making
No, I did. But you're still encouraging the audience to write in their suggested titles.
Yes.
Oh, this is going to be delightful, isn't
so, it? So C. Thompson suggests, "The Dark Lord Softly Weeps."
All right, this is because I noted that my new record, it is a concept record, and it is, it's more personal.
Sure.
It's dark, it's sad.
Right.
I don't really feel the title needs to indicate that it's sad. I think the material speaks for itself. I thank you, C. Thompson, for the suggestion, but I'm not going with that. I'm not going to use that. No offense. Just not going to use that.
Okay. Well, we have a D. Simmons.
What up, D. Simmons?
What up? He suggests two titles. One is called "Sponsored by Epic Win."
You know, I predate Epic Win, so I don't think. If anything, Epic Win Burlesque should be called Epic Win Burlesque, sponsored by Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Whoa! Let's. Let's not be too hasty.
How about Schaefer the Dark Lord presents Epic Win Burlesque featuring Nelson Lugo and Schaefer the Dark Lord as Schaefer the Dark Lord?
I like it. We'll put that on a business card.
It's gonna be a long abbreviation.
D. Simmons also suggests, and this one's a bit sketchy. I'm a little uncomfortable reading it.
Okay.
"Blues Traveler Raped My Grandmother."
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie. That one made me feel a little icky.
Yeah. I'm obviously never going to call anything that.
No. Nor should you.
I don't think making light of rape in any capacity...
Or Blues Traveler, for that matter.
Or Blues Traveler, for that matter, is appropriate to anything. Again, I thank you for your enthusiasm and contributing to our request for album titles, or rather, Lugo's request for my album titles. I'm not going to be using that one.
We did get some suggestions for possible guests, though. Do you want to hear
Ooh, suggestions for guests. Yeah. Terrific.
Dave.
What up, Dave?
He suggests that we should get Kay Flay.
We can't get Kay Flay.
See, you say that. I don't believe you.
I think Kay Flay's out of our league.
No. In fact, I would emphatically say no. I think if you wrote Kay Flay an email saying, "The next time you're in New York, I'd like to interview you for our podcast," I would guarantee you she'd say yes.
I don't guarantee that.
Then let's put it to the test. Write her an email.
Oh, jeez.
Write her an email.
I'm going to write it. It's gonna sound like a fan mail.
No, it's not.
Some young woman writes in like the late 70s to Davy Jones, "Dear Ms. Flay, I love your work so much." And let's be fair here. I love Kay Flay.
You're a Kay Flay super
I'm
fan.
I'm such a fan of Kay Flay. Yeah. I can't email her and ask her that.
Of course you can.
She doesn't know who we are.
No, but she might know who you are.
No, she doesn't.
Of course she does.
No, she doesn't.
Look, How about this?
There's no way I'm on Kay Flay's radar.
Dude, here's what you do. Write an email to Kay Flay.
Oh, jeez.
Just all you have to do, just write an email saying, "Hey, you're in New York a lot. You know, my name's Schaefer the Dark Lord. You may or may not have heard of me. I'm also a musician. I have a podcast. We talk about all kinds of things. And not only are we fans, but our fans are fans of yours. And you were requested to be on our podcast by our fans. And so, you know, if you're in town, if you're available, we'd like to interview you."
Yeah, you know what? I'll just give you access to my email account and you can write it. Because if I write it, it's just going to say like...
It's going to gush.
"Flay, I love you. You're the best rapper." That's going to be the whole email. She's the best rapper.
All right, that's true. She is the best rapper in the world.
So are there other suggestions for
you? Did I embarrass you thoroughly?
I'm just like running through Kay Flay lyrics in my head.
Oh, okay.
I'm just fanboying out really hard right now.
All right. So
look, I really like Kay Flay.
I like Kay Flay a lot.
I would just want to, in case that hasn't been like, I haven't made that point clear.
She's so good. Oh, man.
She's really good.
I've seen her live many times and she's amazing.
So fine.
So we have a C. Muldrow.
What up, C. Muldrow?
And she starts off by saying, Messieurs Schaefer and Lugo. So already, I like her a lot. She had a lot to say about our Batman discussion. She sides with you for most of it.
Okay.
Almost all of it, actually. And she thinks my ideas are quite silly. But she did say, in response to your thinking that the Star Wars trilogy is a good analogy for the Dark Knight trilogy.
Oh, thank you.
In that,
Ms. Muldrow.
The only way the Dark Knight rises is Return of the Jedi is if there's an alternate ending where Luke says, hey, that was great, but fuck being a Jedi. I think I'm going to go bang Myra Jade instead. Which I think is actually quite funny. But she does have two questions. She wants to know that if we had an unlimited budget, et cetera, et cetera, what kind of comic book movie would we make and who would star in it?
Wow. An unlimited budget, what comic book movie would we make? What about you? I think you probably have a longer wish list of comic book movies that you would like to see made.
I would love to see Gotham by Gaslight, which is this sort of turn-of-the-century Batman story in a sort of an alternate, like it was an Elseworlds title, and it put Batman in sort of like, oh, please forgive me, don't hate me on the internet, some sort of Victorian and Edwardian London, and or Gotham, New Gotham, and it's been a while since I read it, but it's such an amazing story that deals with government and politics and religion and Batman, and it's quite a wonderful story. I would love to see that made into a film as like an alternate kind of like look at where you can take Batman, basically.
That would be I think that would translate well to film. I think that would be
I have no idea who would be in it, to be honest. Like, I haven't really thought that far ahead. I have no idea who my cast would be, but you know, having what's his face, Gary Oldman as Jim Gordon, is a necessity.
I would love to. I think everybody would love to see a Deadpool movie.
Dude, I would love to see a Deadpool
movie.
And
I want it to see done like the comics. Like, I want him to turn and talk to the camera.
Yeah.
I want him to break the wall. And I think everybody would love. Right now, I'm very excited about the fact that there is a Deadpool game on the horizon.
Dude, I saw the trailer for it. I laughed my ass off the entire time.
I think that that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I would love to see the Fantastic Four done correctly still.
Dude, you know what? Now that you say that, yes. I would love a good Fantastic Four movie. A good one. Just one.
Yeah.
I'm not even greedy. Or for that matter, I mean they're already doing it, but I think the new Superman movie is right on track with where I think it should be. It's a little too early to tell.
Well, yeah, based on nothing that you know about it.
Well, I mean, it's
you know who's cast in it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's being produced by Christopher Nolan of the Batman fame.
All right.
And you know, and what's this guy? The guy from, you know, he does 300. He did Sucker Punch. I forget his name. That guy.
Zack Snyder.
Yes, he's directing. So you have Nolan's kind of like restrained storytelling, and then you have Zack Snyder's crazy go nuts fucking visuals, which I think is probably the right combination for a Superman film.
You know what else I think would be great to see done in movie form, and probably be kind of difficult to do because it's such a huge, sprawling story, is Transmetropolitan.
How the fuck would you even do that?
I don't know. If you've got any suggestions, C. Muldrow, send your script notes over, and we'll punch it up a little bit, and we'll send it to our filmmaker friends that we don't have.
Yeah, all none of them.
Yeah.
And her last question, she wrote a very long email. What are each of your favorite comic series of all time? And if you've got a storyline in particular.
All right, we talked about this a little bit before we started recording.
Yeah,
I feel, obviously I want to say something about Batman here because I am a huge lifelong Batman fan.
Sure.
But I like Batman as a property. I don't think as an individual series, any of the Batman series I would count as my favorite comic series of all time. I don't think I could say Detective is my favorite comic series of all time. I don't think I could say just flagship Batman is my favorite comic book series of all time. I love Batman as a property and all of its many, all the many stories that have been told in various formats. But I don't think I could count any individual titles my favorite of all time. If I had to pick one, I think I would say The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that's a good
one.
That's a good one.
I think I don't know another series that I've read in its entirety that has run that long. And I have been emotionally invested in The Walking Dead for a very long time. And issue 102 just came out today. Of course, by saying that, that's going to date when this episode was recorded. This is when it was released. That's the doorbell.
I wonder who that could be.
That must be our guest.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break while we take care of this. We'll be right back.
Stop, focus, tell me what I'm looking at. Stop, focus, tell me what I'm looking at. It's hard to tell if I feel good or bad. Fate snapping at my heels like an alligator. You want to say what's up, but call your ass later. Well, the situation's grim and I've been in it so many times and my life's on repeat. Feel like a baby, minus the wheezy saga episode on my TV. My mind is filled with blank stares. Abacus is skewed, so the matches ain't fair. Perpetual vegetable, turning my homie like basketball. My brain is now massable, images so fantastical. My limbs all go spastical, I watch as my mandible moves up, up, up and down, down, magging on casserole. If this lasts a full hour, I might just be okay. But if not, it's like bye-bye flay. If this lasts a full hour, I might just be okay. But if not, then it's like bye-bye flay. So stop, focus, tell me what I'm looking at. Stop, focus, tell me what I'm looking at. Life might ring me out to dry, but for now I'm feeling fine. Cancel my engagements, curled up with the blanket, traveling through space and time. Life might rough me up a bit, but for now I'm feeling good. Wanna tell you everything, but you see all my words misunderstood.
Our guest this month is the site editor of comic book website Newsarama.com. Please welcome to the program, Lucas Siegel.
Woo!
Lucas!
Yay! Yay!
Thank Cheering for myself.
Yes. Thank you for being with us, Lucas. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Is it all right if I call you Lucas, or would you prefer Mr. Siegel? I know that that's a bit more formal.
I prefer to call you Siegel, if that's all right with you.
I usually go by Siegel the Dark Lord, but I hear that's, I think that's taken here.
Well, if you abbreviate it, oh, wait.
Yes, Lucas, Mr. Siegel, Siegel, my master, any of those
all
are
right.
fine.
Well, then I'll toggle among those possibilities. So, master, so your title, you are site editor of Newsarama.com, and I'm sure anybody who's listening to the show, if you're listening to the show, you know Newsarama.com.
Chances are.
You have to.
And if you don't, you're not a good person.
So your title is, what does that mean as site editor?
It means I do all of the bitch work and get very little credit. About 75-80% of the time that you see that byline Newsarama staff, that's usually me. So
wow.
You can yell at me for all of that. And yeah.
I feel you may be selling yourself short with just the amount of pull that you have.
No, it's fun. I mean, I get to tell people what I want to see on the site, and they actually listen to me and do it. So that's kind of cool. I do a little bit of writing when I can, and primarily my writing now is in the video game section because that's my baby.
I have a question about actually the site. How much of the... What percentage would you say is the amount of content that you're actually contributing versus, like, you know, overseeing a lot of the stuff that's been coming in?
You know, I probably, on an average day, I will probably process somewhere around 6 to 8 of the posts that go up. Mm-hmm. One or two of those will have some writing from me in them.
Whether it's
just an entry in a countdown or an entire rewriting of a press release, something like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Right.
You mostly do writing about video games now as opposed to...
Yeah, yeah. For the press releases and stuff like that, I cover the comics that way, but I don't do a lot of comic book interviews anymore. It's just not really... we have plenty of staff writers and freelancers for that stuff. So.
I have learned things, though, about comics from your site, from your writing specifically. For example, it was in February... was the first time I found out about DC's plans to launch Before Watchmen.
Oh, yes.
From an article that you wrote.
Yep.
I had no information about that before then, and I was shocked to learn that this was a thing. But I
got railed pretty hard. That was an op-ed that I wrote.
Really? And here's the thing, is that I feel like if I had...
destroyed for that.
If I had read about that, I'm gonna sing your praises for that piece. Because if I had read about that just anywhere else and it had just been on paper, just an entry on any other site, I probably would have seized on all of the comments where everybody was crying, oh my God, this idea is creatively bankrupt. But you, in your piece, you were enthusiastic.
I was, and I remain so. For the most part, they've been pretty good books. There have been a couple that have fallen kind of flat, but that's going to happen with any initiative like this. But overall, I mean, you're going to have a really hard time ever convincing me to not be excited about new Darwin Cook work.
Well, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. That sells the argument right there, basically.
Yeah. And like Brian Azzarello and J.G. Jones and... The people that they got to do this were so talented and had so much goodwill built up in my mind that I had to think, okay, well, let's see what they come up with. Mm-hmm. And that was basically what I tried to say in the first place. Look, it would have been cool if Alan Moore had been a part of this or had been blessing it or whatever else. But right now, Alan Moore is not interested in comic books anymore. Alan Moore signed a contract. Was it a shitty contract? Yeah. But guess what? He signed it.
Right.
He signed it under his own volition. Yes. He didn't have a gun to his head. He wasn't drugged. Well, he might have been, but that would have been self-
That would have been his choice.
Self-medicated.
Yeah.
You know, and he signed the contract. And so to sit here and argue over and over that a company doesn't have the right to do something that they... have the right to do just never made any sense to me. I just didn't get it.
No, I agree fully.
Right. It would have been nice to have his blessing, but you know, he's a reclusive weirdo. You're never going to get his blessing. He has written off most of his own work,
right?
Like publicly. And
right.
So that wasn't to be expected. I got to say, I was very skeptical about Before Watchmen as a series, and I felt that if I only found out about it by stumbling into my local comic shop on a Wednesday and said, what in God's name is this? If that's how I found out, I never would have touched it. But because I read your piece and because you had enthusiasm behind it, I have picked it up and I've read all of it since then. And I think that there's, I gotta say, I wanted to really not like it and I'm pretty invested in it now. And I don't think it's 100% solid.
It's had
a couple of missteps, but by and large, a lot of the material is really well written and well crafted, and there is some incredible talent behind it. And I feel a lot of the writers are doing a good job of writing in the voices of those characters that we learned of, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, and who knew, like, Amanda Connor and Darwin Cook would have such an amazing creative balance.
They're doing Silk Spectre.
Yeah,
right?
Yes. Yeah. The two of them can pretty much just work on anything from now on, and I will be.
Yeah, the Silk Spectre books I think they're among the ones that are my favorite.
Yeah.
I think Silk Spectre and the Minutemen books.
Yeah.
Are really good.
Fan-frickin-tastic! And you did something that's almost nigh impossible. You got Schaefer to change his mind on something, which I think speaks not well of you and your writing. So kudos to you, sir.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm going to ask you about things that you can't answer for me.
Yes! I'm excited about this.
Is this where we grill him for information?
Yeah, to see what he has, well, to see how much he's going to give us.
All right, well, I would like to start off, since you're...
Okay, you go ahead.
Since you're now sort of like the lead on video game news
right, on
the site. And I'm being a avid video game player, and Mass Effect being probably my favorite title, my favorite video game pretty much of all time at this point.
Right.
I want you to tell me everything you know about what's coming up from Mass Effect. Go!
Well, the big thing that I can finally talk about that I've known about for a couple of months
is
Omega. And that
hold on. Are we gonna take back Omega?
Take back Omega.
Fuck,
that is the next single player DLC that's coming out this fall.
Wait, how seriously, you're not gonna get in trouble for telling me this?
No, no.
Seriously?
No. It was officially confirmed in one line of one blog post yesterday when the co-founders of BioWare officially retired yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Dr. Ray Muzyka and Dr. Greg Zestchuk. They both retired from video games altogether. So
holy
they
crap.
Are
they're
done.
Are they going to retire to their island nation that they bought
right.
at this point with all the money that they've made?
You would think so. Greg is actually a huge fan of beer and is going to be starting a web series about beer and about small breweries.
Is he
going to
start making his own beer?
He does. He makes his own beer. Yeah.
I want to drink that doctor's
Greg
beer.
Greg Zestchuk's beer. better than you're saying like his blood or his saliva, I guess.
Either way, I'm really not that picky. I just want some part of the doctor's in me.
But yeah, if you want an idea of what the next DLC is going to be all about, go back and pick up the Mass Effect comics. Because there was a whole comic about how Omega was lost and
I got that trade. I liked that trade a lot better than the Liara story arc.
That trade leads directly into the DLC that is coming out this fall.
I'm very excited.
So it will be Take Back Omega and
now, do you know? Do you have like specifics? Awesome. Like, do we get to play as? Arya, or is Arya part of our party? Or is...
That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would!
And Arya is not the kind of person that's gonna let you go back to Omega to take it back without her being there, right?
Of course. So hold on. Is she part of the party? Or are we playing as Arya?
That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Dude, you're fucking killing me here. Alright, well, I'm very excited being a Mass Effect fan.
You have logged hundreds.
Hundreds.
Hundreds of hours.
In fact, I just, about a month ago, I decided I was going to play all three games back to back.
Yeah.
And I went back. I went back to Mass Effect, and then...
I did that as well
powered
right before 3 came out.
Powered through Mass Effect, and then powered through Mass Effect 2, and then powered through Mass Effect 3 for a total of, God, I don't know, 90 to 100 hours worth of gameplay.
That was powering through.
Yeah.
Wow. My final playthrough of Mass Effect 2 that became my canon playthrough that was... I started with 1.
Right.
Went through 2, and then it was, you know, 2 weeks before 3 came out when I got it to review, and I started playing that from that playthrough.
Right.
And that was my 9th full playthrough of Mass Effect 2.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I've done about 9 myself.
Yeah. Three. I'm only on 2 so far, but I'll probably start.
I'm actually thinking about going back and doing it again, but this time playing as a Femship.
Oh God, you should.
I know.
Femship is so much better.
I know.
You haven't all your playthroughs. You haven't done that once.
No. I have. I have several playthroughs as a Femship, but I've never done. I've only taken one character all the way through. I've played the games. Yeah. Multiple times with different characters and different classes.
I see.
But there's only been one character that I played all the way through.
I see.
And oddly enough, his name is Mark Shepard.
Really?
Yeah.
God.
It's because I love
you. But you didn't name that after the voice actor?
Mark Shepard? No. I named him tangentially after Shay for the Dark Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
There you go.
If I ever have a pet.
And is he a renegade then?
No, he's pure Paragon.
Paragon?
Pure Paragon, like Uber Paragon.
Oh, that's just not right.
Well, I feel like you've miscast your character.
Well, no, I mean, basically, it's your name, but ultimately, it's my avatar. So,
all right.
You know, it's, you know, your name's, your the word Mark never comes up in anything ever. It's more
right,
of a,
so it's
more
Shepard.
Of, it's more of a designation of a save Shepard? File than anything else. what else? What other other video game goodness can you talk about?
Just buy Assassin's Creed 3. I don't care if you've never played an Assassin's Creed game. Buy Assassin's Creed 3. Buy a Vita and buy Assassin's Creed.
Whoa. Slow down. So let's go back. You can't just truck over that, sir. Are you talking about the Vita version specifically?
Both of them.
Yeah, the Vita is the
console version
game where you can play
and the Vita. The Vita one you play as Aveline, who is a French and African.
Hot.
Badass, hot. And she is incredible, and she is an aristocrat, and just the gameplay on that is so much fun. You can do touch to kill, so you can actually line up kills from a, if you're in a hidden vantage point,
yeah,
and you can see, you know, four red coats on the ground, you can touch those four on your touch screen, and she'll dive down and do this crazy animated sequence of killing all four of them.
Well, hold on. Are you speaking from watching trailers or gameplay?
Yes.
Oh, you.
And so I just got to play the naval battle for Assassin's Creed.
I've heard about this naval battle.
I got to play that for the first time just last week on the Wii U, actually.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Wow,
that's an odd
platform
to play that on.
Yeah, but it was pretty cool.
Does the graphics or the gameplay suffer from the
gameplay? Not at all. It was definitely running full 60 frames, and it was great.
Wow.
The graphics, it's hard to tell without it being side by side. It looked great, but there looked like there were some small pixelation compared to the time that I've spent with it on PS3.
Okay. Yeah.
But that, I mean, that's to be expected, right, at least to
it's
a point.
It's a handheld. There's something else.
The naval battle is fun. It's really fun. It's relatively simple. I mean, if you're a video gamer, you're gonna go through it pretty quickly. But it's a great diversion, and it'll be a really nice spot in the middle of the game.
I've always been on board with the Assassin's Creed series, and so this was an instant buy for me the moment I heard about it. But now I think I need to own a Vita.
So the character of it's Liberation is the version for the Vita.
Yes.
And the lead character's name again?
Aveline.
Now she is a supporting character in the console version of Assassin's Creed 3, correct?
Yeah, Aveline and Connor will be meeting in both games.
Okay. She plays a role in the single player campaign in Assassin's Creed 3.
Yes.
The console version. But the Vitavert game is her story.
Her story starts a little bit earlier than the console story does.
Okay.
So you'll get to see the first 5 to 10 years ahead of time of where she's at and what brings her eventually all the way up to Boston from New Orleans.
Wow.
But they will meet in both versions of the game.
Oh my god,
dude! I have to buy
like a handheld gaming
console. I'm gonna borrow yours.
This is gonna be the thing that's gonna finally get me. Because I've been wanting to buy one. I wanted to get a PSP for ages.
You know, I've been a big fan of the Vita. I really have. I know it has not taken off the way that Sony wanted it to, the way that anybody thought it was going to.
Do you think it's because there's not enough content for it?
Maybe, but I don't know. I haven't had problems finding things to play on it. That's the thing, is between some of the amazing PSN titles that have come out and the titles that are coming out on the memory cards too, it's been a system that I've consistently had stuff to play for.
Alright.
Interesting.
And the other nice thing that Sony is doing now, two nice things that they're doing now, they are officially launching PlayStation Plus on the Vita in November. One PlayStation Plus membership gets you the service on both PS3 and Vita.
That's nice.
That's smart.
Full free games for both systems every month. And then, on top of that, they're doing this new buy once thing where for certain titles, mostly Sony published titles, if you buy it once, you can play it on both. So Sound Shapes was one of the first ones. You buy it on the PlayStation Network, whether you buy it on the Vita or you buy it on the PS3, you download it on both and play it on both. And they're doing that with some of their actual, like, full disc-based titles, too. So their PlayStation All-Stars, their new Super Smash Brothers clone, you only have to buy it once and you get both versions.
Wow.
Same with the next Sly title, the next Ratchet and Clank title. They're all going to be this new buy at once. So that's pretty cool too.
That's pretty cool. That's kind of the tie-in that was kind of one of the perks that was promised.
And you can share your saves
early. Yeah, that was one of the big things that was promised when the early promotional materials were coming out, or especially like when PlayStation Magazine was running pieces about the Vita. That was like one of the selling points of it.
Yeah.
But we haven't actually seen that really in application.
Yeah, it's basically been MLB, you can share the saves, but you still had to buy it both times. And then Sound Shapes is the one that I've gone back and forth.
That's really been what's holding me back from the new handhelds, is that I guess I'm not as steeped in the handheld culture as I am in console culture, but it just seems from just as an outsider kind of looking in that there just isn't enough games to make it worth my while to make, because it's not an inexpensive system. You're making a pretty significant investment in this in a handheld.
Buying another console.
Exactly. And like the 3DS, there's Mario, and then there's the new Zelda game, and then that's pretty much it. I mean, those are the two system sellers, but I'm not excited about any of those to really sort of jump into the 3DS, which is part of the problem I had about the Vita as well. At least coming out of the gate, it didn't seem to me like it had the kind of titles that I would be playing over and over and over again.
Well, it's still, granted, there have only been a handful of titles so far, but they've all been pretty strong. Like, there's been a God of War game, an Uncharted
that's
game.
Uncharted was phenomenal.
They look
amazing.
I really do. I've had a chance to sit down and play with it a little bit, and I want one, but...
they're early PS3 level.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's really incredible.
Well, I'm just... You know what it is? I'm actually afraid that... Because I'm not a wealthy man, and I'm afraid that getting closer to the holiday season... I guess everything that's been announced is kind of going to be announced within the next month or so, or has been already been announced. That next year we're going to find a new console, either with the PS3, the new version of that, or the new Xbox. And the thing is, I can't afford all of these damn systems.
Really? A new console next year? Do you know anything about that, Lucas Siegel of Newsarama.com?
We're going to see announcements for sure next year.
About a new console?
From both Microsoft and Sony.
Is this something that you... As a journalist, as someone who's kind of steeped in the industry, that you kind of see coming?
Or do
you hear rumors?
There have been rumors.
Stuff?
Dev kits are out there. They're out in the wild right now. So those consoles are coming. They'll at least be announced next year. Relatively safe bet that we'll see new consoles on the shelves next fall from both Sony and Microsoft.
You heard it here, folks. Lucas Siegel from Newsarama predicts
a reasonably safe
new
bet.
Consoles for 2013, holiday 2013. You heard it here, folks. That's the scoop from the Epic Podcast.
Yes,
that's exciting. I'm not gonna get that excited about that. Now. I'm just excited about Assassin's Creed 3 a lot because I am really I love the Assassin's Creed.
Be excited
series.
About it.
You know what? I'm actually here's my problem with this new season of games. There isn't a lot out there that I'm excited about.
I'm excited. Like, finally is.
And well, Connor has like a basically a bat hook.
He does.
It's so awesome.
But other than
it looks amazing.
So great.
Other than Assassin's Creed, other than Borderlands 2,
Resident Evil 6.
Resident Evil 6.
You don't care about
Evil. No, I will play Resident Evil 6.
You won't.
Yes,
you will.
The demo is out now.
Yeah, I will play it.
I'm downloading it right now. I started downloading it right before you came over because I'm going to play.
True. Yeah, I saw him do it.
Nice.
But there isn't really much else out there that I'm excited about. It just seems like this is at least to me, a weaker season game-wise than it has been in previous years.
Halo 4?
I guess I'm just not a Halo guy.
Yeah, but that's a...
That's a big thing.
That's a major title.
Yeah.
And obviously, Black Ops 2 is going to sell...
That'll sell a bajillion titles.
What about Watch Dogs? When's that coming?
That's possibly not until the next generation.
That trailer kind of blew me away.
Yeah, quite possibly that is a title coming for the next generation. Huh.
It looks, it looks way too good for this console generation.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I thought it looked like it could be done with current console technology.
I hope it does, but I don't think it will.
I read something about a Star Wars game coming that they were saying they were
going to sell
out for
next...
Star Wars 1313.
That's the one.
They are being so damn... annoying about that game.
They're not talking. They're not giving
really
information.
Thought, we really thought we were at least going to find out who the actual character is Celebration 6.
I read somewhere that the trailer is really just a proof of concept and that actually has nothing to do with the story.
All the footage that is currently out there, it is story footage, but it's using a different... They actually created a different model just to mask who the main character is.
For the love of Hootenanny!
So it's all using a fake main character.
I'm going to call it right now. I'm going to say it's Han Solo.
You know, I think that's just too easy.
No, I no. It's,
for it to be Han Solo or Boba Fett, no, no, I feel like it would be
It needs
easy.
To be Han Solo, but secondarily Boba Fett.
It'd be interesting. I mean, initially, the only hint that we have is that the first ever thing that went out about this game was that LucasArts was staffing up for a Boba Fett game. That was the original thing. They were going to be staffing up for a Boba Fett game.
I never even heard this.
And well, this was a few years ago. This was like after Force Unleashed and Force Unleashed. I think it was after Force Unleashed came out and Force Unleashed 2 was known to be in development. Then they were talking about doing this Boba Fett game. So that was everybody's initial thought. But all we really know about this game, it takes place in the underworld,
right,
of Coruscant,
right,
on level 1313.
Which is miles and miles and miles below the surface of
very, very, very far down.
Yes.
And it is going to be a bad place that you will have many bad feelings about.
So they're kind of setting this in this... I mean, there was... Any Star Wars fan also knows that there was this rumored live-action television series that was supposed to take place between episodes 3 and 4 that was supposed to cover the kind of the Coruscant underworld. It was going to be called Star Wars Underworld.
Right.
In fact, and it was going to be dark and it was going to cover...
And it is not
mob
dead.
Mob bosses and bounty hunters. Is this?
It is not dead. The live-action TV series is not dead.
That was the last thing I read, that it was dead.
It is not dead.
Oh. But, okay, but this is kind of like...
This is covering some of the same ground.
It's kind of a similar
And really, I mean, both the Force Unleashed games took place in that same time period, between 3 and 4.
Right.
And Star Wars Detours, the amazing new comedy series that's coming out from the Robot Chicken crew and Brendan Hay is is covering that same time period as well.
I would like more material covering that time
in a little bit different take.
Sure, sure.
that's really genuinely all we know about it. It's a third-person action-adventure game.
Shooter.
If there
it's
was
a cover-based shooter. With some like space powers.
But it looks like it's going to be a little bit more Uncharted and a little bit less Gears of War.
Okay.
As far as the style goes to it. The footage looks great so far. They look like they're having a lot of fun with it. What's really cool is that it's not just LucasArts working on this game. It's LucasArts, Lucasfilm, and ILM.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's some heavy hitters.
So they're actually working on it together. They're using footage and set pieces and things that were designed for live-action movies in the game.
wow.
They are doing a lot together, and they're using all of these people that know way too much about creating awesomeness. So
hopefully
that will be as awesome as it can be.
I'll wait for another generation of consoles for that game.
Yeah,
if I get graphics that are rendered like realistic film quality graphics, I'll wait for it.
Well, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty cool. The whole Lucas family is working together now in a way that they never have before. In that they showed during the season premiere of Clone Wars that airs. This Saturday, Saturday. When they did the premiere at Star Wars Celebration 6, they were talking about it, and they said that they actually used set pieces from Revenge of the Sith, and they actually used those actual rendered backgrounds in the show.
Wow.
And just rendered the animated series over that, which is pretty freaking cool.
That's pretty cool, and that's another, I guess, another example of all of these various Lucas entities finally working together.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
combining resources. That's
About fucking time.
I gotta say, the
it's about fucking time.
I gotta say, the trailer for the new season of the Clone Wars.
By the way,
amazing.
I don't care if you've ever watched the Clone Wars or not.
I
number
love
one,
the Clone
you're
Wars.
An idiot.
Yeah,
if you haven't.
And you're a bad person.
I guess I do totally care. I completely care. If you haven't been watching the Clone Wars, I hate you and everything you stand for.
I agree
and
with Lucas on all of
you need to go out and get all of the Blu-rays immediately and start watching it.
It is one of the few television series ever that only gets better with age.
Yeah.
Really does.
Like, profoundly better.
Well, because they themselves are always pushing the story, they're pushing the animation.
And they're completely changing the way that they're doing the animation.
Yeah,
they're completely changing the way that they're doing
tone.
Sound.
They're
every
doing,
time.
They're doing tone in Star Wars material that the fans have always wanted and always thought they were going to get. Everybody was always told that, well, Revenge of the Sith is going to be a little darker than the other was. And it was, but...
There was no organic shift from episode 2 to episode 3. And this is that organic shift, and it's amazing, and it's better than all of the prequels' best parts combined.
It's true. That trailer. If you haven't seen the trailer for the new season of Clone Wars, go download it, because it's beautiful.
And if you haven't seen the first episode of the new season of Clone Wars,
membership has its privileges.
You're a guest on the show, but you're a dick.
It's phenomenal.
Tell us about Darth Maul.
It is easily in my top three of episodes of this show ever.
Wait. Does Darth Maul show up finally?
Oh, yeah. Darth Maul is here in a big way. Yeah. Season 5 picks up right where season 4 left off.
Nice.
Darth Maul is here in a big way. Savage Opress is here in a big way. Both of them will have fundamentally life-changing moments in just that first episode. And the things that they are teasing and the things that are going to happen this season, I mean, really, like you said, that trailer said it all. It was something that Dave Filoni teased to me back at San Diego Comic-Con, and when they showed it in the trailer and fucking Darth Sidious lowers his hands and a lightsaber ignites in each hand, and you just hear him talking about the rule of two and all of these pretenders and what's going to happen to those pretenders, and you know that Darth Sidious is coming and he is going to be pissed. And oh man, I can't wait.
Oh man, you gave me goosebumps.
Dude, my face hurts from all the smiling I'm doing. Holy crap.
Yeah. And Luca, if you hadn't noticed, Lucas is actually wearing
a
Clone Wars, yes.
Yes, with Clone Wars on it.
T-shirt,
yeah.
And fans of Clone Wars, stay tuned, because there's going to be another Clone Wars theater event.
What?
Where more Clone Wars episodes will be able to be watched in a movie theater.
What?
It is going to happen.
That'll be better
Lucas,
the first time
have
around.
I ever told you how handsome you are?
Yes,
handsome, handsome man.
Why is your hand on my thigh?
Because you're a lovely man, and I just want to get to know you better.
Lugo's bad with boundaries.
Boundaries? I just think of those as challenges.
What else did I want to
say? I don't know, like, about? My brain hurts.
I know, I'm
I don't even know where to go from
I'm trying
that.
To process a lot of information really quickly, but I know that there were a couple of things that I wanted to, like, ask you about that you can't answer. I got one.
Go read Batman 12 again.
Really?
Read it over and over again. It's extremely important.
Wait, Batman 12 is...
What other fun...
Okay, just so you listeners know what just happened... Schaefer has dropped his headset, has run away from the microphone,
opening
and is now frantically digging through his comic book box to find issue 12 of Batman. He has abandoned the podcast.
I'm done.
And he's coming back. Here he comes.
Becky Cloonan's art sure is nice.
He's just going to sit at the couch and read the comic book now.
You guys got it from here.
Becky Cloonan's art sure is nice, isn't it?
It sure is.
She did such a good job on this book.
Oh, right. This is when they introduced this new character. It was all about... Book. Oh, it's all about this girl.
Is it?
Wait. Is that the new Robin?
You know, there's some speculation about that. We ran an article speculating that that could be a new Robin, that it could be a new...
A new Batgirl?
A new Batgirl or some kind of sidekick for her.
Sure, sure.
There's
or Batwoman? Or
there's something about this girl.
Fuck.
There's something about this girl.
Batman barely appears in this issue, so it's clear that they were really driving home that there's something that we need to pay attention to this character. I'm sorry, what's her name again?
Yeah, Scott Snyder's having a lot of fun with her.
You
bastard.
Harper Row.
This is my punishment.
Not to be confused with the publisher.
Well, no, obviously. this is my punishment. I don't buy single issues anymore.
Yeah.
I wait for the trades. I'm either impatient.
And of course, this is very important because of the Red Hood's involvement.
Well, sure,
true,
obviously.
There were three artists. This story was broken up into three segments.
No, this was all Becky.
Was it?
Yeah. What about I'm pretty sure.
No, she did page 121.
Yeah, then there's a backup story. by James Tynion and Andy Clark.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Well,
yay, backups. Thank God they finally just started calling them backups instead of trying to call them co-features like they did before. That was so lame.
I both love and hate DC in so many profound ways.
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
Good, I don't know. Lord. I mean, I know.
Here's the thing. You know what? It's like DC.
But hey, according to Mark Waid, I'm in DC's pocket, so I guess I can't say anything bad about
it. Oh, yeah. I read that.
Really? How much money did you get from them this week?
Oh,
all
God.
$0?
If only.
I read that.
If only.
Are
you kidding me?
Your credibility was called into question about that by.
Yes, indeed.
Mark Waid.
Mark, I still love you. I love Daredevil. It's awesome. I'm looking forward to Hulk.
Although I must say, being called on the carpet by the likes of Mark Waid, it seems like you've arrived.
Yeah, I guess.
As a journalist, someone in the industry, an insider, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, so that happened. Anyway.
All right, so anyway, we spoke briefly when you got over here. Lugo and I talked about this last time. He stopped reading single issues a long time ago, so he hasn't been invested in the New 52. But this has been zero issue month.
It has been.
I'm still standing by what I said last month, which was I'm enjoying the Batman books of the New 52, and I'm enjoying the zero issues, too.
Of the Batman books?
Those are the only ones that I've read because they're the only ones that I'm still reading. And specifically, Batman and Robin Zero, I really liked. I thought it gave a nice backstory to Damian Wayne, a character I'm terribly invested in.
If the Batman group
he looks
could
at
somehow
you
break off and be its own publisher, I'd be thrilled because it is the Batman group is the most coherent and most consistently amazing group in all of comic book publishing right now. They're just so damn good, and they've found such a great core of creators to tell some great, great stories. So I totally agree with you there. I love Damian just as much as you do. I really do. I think Damian Wayne has been a really great character. I think Grant did a service. You know, initially, in his initial pitch, he had planned Damian to be like a one-off character and he was going to have him die right away.
Oh, wow.
Like in the first arc that introduced him, he was just going to be there, serve his purpose, and die. And he fell in love with him and his editors fell in love with him, and then the reader response was so tremendous and he was like, I can't lose this character yet. And now other people have had a lot of fun playing with him.
The audience is quite fickle then to have such a great response initially.
Initially, right.
And then just turn
well, maybe,
on him
maybe
violently.
They all loved him. They all loved him as a one-off character, I guess. So maybe Grant was right in the first.
They had a good response when they were responding to him back in the old continuity. This is like before the 52. I mean, because Damian Wayne was introduced.
You know, things haven't changed that much in the Batman world. The Robins are the ones that have definitely changed the most significantly.
Yeah.
In that. You know, it appears that Stephanie Brown has never been a Robin or a Batgirl, for that matter. Mm. Although you can't find anything confirmed about that. So who knows?
Big question mark.
You know, Tim Drake was never actually just Robin. He started under the identity of Red Robin.
Yep.
In the New 52. And basically each Robin has been Robin. I think I actually did the math because I was just that terrible about it. But I did the math of like the amount of time that they were Robin in real life compressed into 5 years, how long it would have been for each one. And Dick was Robin for like a year and 2 months. Jason was Robin for only like 4 or 5 months. And then Tim was it was like a year and 8 months, 4 or 5 months. Tim was Robin for like a year and 2 months. And then there's this blank period for a few weeks where Steph used to be Robin, and who knows? And then Damian shows up, and he's only been Robin for a few months as well. So it's this weird, compressed, super, super compressed timeline for them. Other than the Robins, not a lot changed. And as we saw in Batman and Robin number 0, Damian was still a test tube baby, which was actually...
They hung on to that.
Here's your little insider knowledge, was not the initial plan when they were doing the reboot. When they were doing the reboot, they were going to make Damian the actual biological son of Bruce Wayne and Talia from an actual hookup while Bruce was over there training.
Nice. Oh, but they decided that
Bruce Wayne's 16-year-old hookup might have been a little wonky.
I kind of like that. It makes
because he's like 26, 27 now in the new 52. So it would have been a little harder.
It makes Talia even more diabolical to keep him as this test tube baby that she created against his knowledge, and then trains and beats the shit out of him with swords every year on his birthday until he's.
I gotta say all I care about right now. I mean, I'm really excited for Death of the Family, the Joker's big return. I cannot fucking wait.
That starts in Batman 13 in December, correct?
Damian versus Joker. Yes. That's what I can't wait for. That's what I'm super excited about. That's happening in December's 15th issue of Batman and Robin. Damian versus Joker.
Yeah,
and
I'm in.
Damian is not going to take any shit.
No, he has really established himself as the kind of, like, all of the Robins have had their traits and had their merits, but he's like he's got potential to be a psychopath.
He's trained by the psychosis of Jason Todd with the fighting skill of Dick Grayson and the intelligence of Tim Drake. He really is the ultra Robin.
Yeah, well put. He really is. He is kind of the best of all.
I'm excited
of the Robins.
In that one. This marks not only the return to the Joker, in this Bat team, like this Bat team's handling of him, but also, the direction that they're going to go with him. You know what I mean? This whole face off thing that he's done, and where that is now part of him.
It is creepy, and I'm excited that he's going to basically. The way that Scott Snyder has described it is that the Joker has come after Batman. He's come after Batman in a big way, many times. He's never actually come after any other of the members of the Bat family. Because even when he came after Jason Todd and killed him, it was to come after Batman.
True. Right.
When he came and he crippled Barbara Gordon, it was to come after Batman. So this is not about him just going and shooting Barbara Gordon through the spine. This is about what he wants to do to torture Barbara Gordon the same way that her being shot in the spine tortured Bruce Wayne.
Right.
That's what this story is going to be. So it's going to be Joker coming after each one of them and saying, okay, you want to play with the big boys? Now I'm your arch nemesis. Let's see what happens when I'm your arch nemesis.
And I'm a little concerned.
That's scary.
Because he really has. All of the times that he has gone after the people that are important to Bruce Wayne, it's really been just to get at Batman.
Right.
He's never really had, like, personal vendettas against any of the members of the so-called Bat family.
No, because they never mattered to him.
No.
But I'm concerned in that this seems like really extreme escalation. Like, the Joker cut off his fucking face.
Right.
Are we now a comic book culture where it takes writing the fact that the Joker has cut off his own fucking face to make the Joker interesting? Like, I mean, wasn't he menacing enough? Wasn't he a great character? Are we so jaded as a comic book readership that the only thing that'll get our interest now is when the Joker, who is the most psychotic of all psychotic killers in the entire DC universe, arguably the entire comic book universe, that now he has to cut off his own fucking face to get attention. Have we gotten there?
It's an interesting question, and that could probably be its an entire own podcast. because really, I mean, you look at all of the dismemberment and beheadings and stuff that's happened.
Right, and the giant, like, mountain of babies that he's built his throne on, that he sits on while he tends. I mean, it's sort of like, I mean, is it is it sort of like
the other white?
Do you think this is just a stunt in the same way that they gave, like, Captain America a gun, or, you know,
America should always have a gun. He is a fucking soldier.
True!
No, I know that, but for a very long time he didn't.
As a former member of the armed forces, I would like to say, on the record, that Captain America should always be carrying a gun. He should always have a weapon. He should always have a whole selection of weapons available to him. It made no sense for him to not have that his entire time that he has always been a hero, and that's it.
He's a soldier.
End of story.
Got it.
He's a soldier.
I got it.
Super soldier. Soldier. It's right there in the name.
But giving Captain America a gun was more of a reaction to the society and the comic book culture, moreover than, say, like...
Well, and it was also partially from Bucky taking over.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it was...
Bucky was proficient in firearms.
Bucky became the
excuse
to give him a gun. Is the Joker's face removal like the next step of how fucked up we can be in comic books? Come back and read comic books.
Yeah, you know, it is to a point. But I think that it's happened pretty organically. The Joker has gone through quite a bit to make him crazier and crazier, including masquerading around and helping Batman for a while. I mean, the dude has completely lost it. And when we come into his story here in the New 52, and we look at what's been going on in the New 52, Batman was very nearly beaten. And he was very nearly beaten by somebody who wasn't the Joker. That is reason enough for him to escalate and for him to go, "Oh, you thought the Court of Owls fucked you up."
Let me tell you something. Yeah, the Court of Owls, be fair, did a number on him.
They did a number on him. So I think it works for the story. And as long as it comes out of the story and as long as it goes into making a good story...
Needless to say that I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see this pan out, and I really hope nothing but the best for this team, because it seems like they've been consistently putting out remarkable
work. Snyder and Capullo are an incredible, incredible team, and I hope they stay on Batman for as long as I want them there.
Well, we've got to be wrapping this up, but I got one more question. One more comic book question that I want to ask, that I was excited to ask this whole time, and I got to get it out. It was announced, and this is going to be, unless you've got anything else.
I don't know. I may have a follow up, but okay. I got nothing.
Because I got a lot of editing to do with this one. It was announced this week that in December, issue number 700 of The Amazing Spider-Man would be the final issue of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Sure,
we're going
is.
To end it there. Presumably, I guess we assume that Spider-Man will be making some sort of appearance in the Marvel Now.
Right, this series of relaunches.
Right.
I think it's a pretty safe bet that they're not actually ending all publication of Spider-Man comics in the year of his wonderful 70th anniversary.
Right. But something big is going to happen in 700.
Something big is going to happen in 700.
You might have an idea.
Dan Slott, the writer of Amazing Spider-Man for 100 issues plus now.
Really?
Well, you know, with the ones that he co-wrote as part of the big team and the issues that he's been writing, yeah, he wrote number 600, which foreshadows some of the stuff that's going to happen in number 700.
Some stuff happened in 600 to Dr. Octopus.
It sure did. Sure did.
Wait, okay.
Sure did.
Just
Dr. Octopus has been a big, big, big...
Dude, just ask your question. You're giving all kinds of leading
in
things.
The last
what's your
year
question?
Or two.
I don't have a question. I want to know what's going to happen in 700.
And yeah, it's going to be big. It's going to be big for Dr. Octopus. It's going to be big for Peter Parker. We have a fun little speculation article up on Newsarama right now. But
so, yeah, go to Newsarama.com and read about the speculation that they have about what's going to happen.
We'll put all of that in the show notes.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And honestly, in Dan, I trust. He's a great writer and personally, he's a pretty good friend, and he's got some fun stuff planned, and he's gonna rock people's world. He said that this issue is going to make a lot of people hate him.
Yes, I love ominous like.
There will be a lot of people very angry at Dan Slott.
All right, final thought. No question, really.
Okay.
But what does Lucas Siegel want to share with our, what are you excited about? What's the one thing that is really floating your boat right now?
Oh, boy. One thing that's really floating my boat right now. I'm very excited for the upcoming second slate of Marvel Studios movies. And some of the rumors that are floating around about those are just damn fun.
Oh, fuck. Okay, we're going to need to get you back here
and,
at some point.
yeah, I'm really just totally focused and looking forward to Assassin's Creed 3 right now. That game has captured me in a way that very few have, and it's definitely it's the one piece of entertainment I'm most looking forward to right now.
Fan fucking tastic.
I'm sold.
Lucas Siegel of Newsarama, thank you so much for being on our second episode of the Epic Podcast.
Thank you.
And you know what? You're welcome back anytime. How's that? Anytime you want to drop a nerd bomb, like just come on by while we're recording and go, yo, Spider-Man, really Batman, boom, and then you're out.
And then we'll spend 45 minutes processing what you said.
Yes.
And that'll be our episode.
So read Batman number 12 again and pay attention to the room full of toys that Odin has in Thor.
Whoa, hold on.
In Thor, the movie.
Yeah. Oh, in Thor.
Pay attention
to
the room full of toys and just think about it. Just think about what those weapons are.
You've been given your homework, nerds.
I both love you and hate you, Lucas Siegel.
What they can mean for the future.
Well,
oh,
all right.
Oh, it's magic. Yeah, think about that. That was a clue.
Bye. Thanks again to Lucas Siegel of Newsarama.com for being our guest this month. And again, please visit Newsarama.com for all of the latest comic book and video game news.
Yeah, and be sure to check out the show notes for this episode, where you'll see links to the stuff we've talked about and all kinds of other goody goodness.
Great. So let's do the plugs.
Yeah.
Nelson Lugo, do you have anything coming up that you would like to plug to our listeners?
I do. October is going to be a big, big month for Epic Win Burlesque. October 6th, we're going to be doing the New Nerd Review. This is an opportunity for brand new burlesquers to stretch their nerdy acts, or seasoned professionals who have brand new nerdy acts. And it's always a good time. It's at R Bar, and you can find out the details for that at our epicwinburlesque.com.
Terrific.
Yeah. And that, and we're also going to be doing a huge, huge Halloween party on Halloween night at our bar. The details for that have not been released, but stay tuned and you'll hear all about it.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. I think so.
I will be performing at, not at New York Comic Con, but during New York Comic Con. I will be performing at a party on Friday night, October 12th. It is a show called Rock Comic Con. Happens every year. I think they have different acts every year. I know Adam Warrock's done it in the past. Kirby Crackle has done it in the past.
Sure.
Paul
sure,
and Storm.
Sure.
This year, the Rock Comic Con show is sponsored by the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund.
Oh, that's cool.
I will be performing with H2 Awesome, as well as the Double Clicks. It'll happen at Rebel Bar in Manhattan. Again, it's Friday, October 12th. And you can get all the other details and tickets at rockcomiccon.com.
Nice. I think I might be doing that show as well, but I don't know for sure.
And your little felt friend will probably be doing it too.
Oh, he's no friend of mine.
He's certainly no friend of mine.
No. He's more your friend than my friend.
Well, only by likeness. And as always, be sure to come back to nerdyshow.com to get all of the episodes of the Epic Podcast. We will be back next month in October, and our topic will be The Walking Dead.
Bum, bum, bum. Now, is it going to be Walking Dead specific, or are we going to talk about zombies in general?
I'm sure we will stray from our topic as we always do, but next month, I would like to make it about The Walking Dead because season 3 of The Walking Dead premieres on October 14th.
Right.
Also, we have a lot to talk about. A lot has happened in the comic books.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to talk about Telltale Games' Walking Dead episodic video game.
Fantastic stuff.
And we have a lot to talk about. We'll have another special guest host, but we don't want to spoil that just yet.
Nope.
It'll be a surprise.
Surprise.
To you next month. It'll be your Halloween present from Lugo and myself.
You're welcome.
And again, if you have any questions for us that you would like us to read and answer on the air, or you have suggestions for us for future episodes, or you want to just tell us how much you love / hate this show, you can contact us at epicpodcast@gmail.com. And please visit nerdyshow.com for other information about this show.
Well, that's our show. From all of us to all of you, my name is Nelson Lugo.
And my name is Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Be safe, internets.
Bye. The Epic Podcast is brought to you by Nerdy Show. All programming on the Nerdy Show Network is listener supported. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, you can show your support by telling a friend or going to nerdyshow.com and clicking the support button. Even a small contribution gets you cool nerdy perks and allows you to take part in our monthly support drive contests. For more episodes of the Epic Podcasts, videos, contests, and other nerdy programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Subscribe to all our latest episodes via the iTunes Store. And remember to follow us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter at Nerdy Show to keep up to date on the latest Nerdy Show news.